10:24. Let us consider one another. Let us encourage one another. Let us stimulate one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us stimulate one another. Let us consider one another. Romans chapter 14, please. And in considering one another, we do well to consider the weaker brother. You know, we don't always agree 100% on a lot of things. Now, this little fellow comes near so that he can hear better. That's nice. You know, it's a blessed thing to see these children in the meeting. I can remember when I was about his age, a little bit of thing. My parents brought me to the meetings, and my brother after me, there was only 18 months difference. And you'd be surprised how much they learned. Don't you deceive yourself. We would get home and during the week, get a piece of bread and a small cup of water and have a perfect worship service. They take in more than we see, than we think. And then my two daughters did the same thing, the first two. They would get a little piece of bread and some water and have a perfect worship meeting. It's good to see these little ones here. Best place for them. Now, let us read, please. Romans chapter 14. We are to provoke each other, stimulate each other, encourage each other. The thing is, we don't always agree. Now, what about a brother or sister with whom you don't agree? And again, growing up, this was all in New York, not here. I used to see some Christians. I used to shake my head just as a youngster. I don't see how they do that. And then I said, how can I love that brother? You don't have to agree with him, but you have to love him. And that's what these verses are about. Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. You may not agree, he may be weak in some things, but you don't receive him to argue with him. You receive him, if possible, you might help him. One believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth vegetables. You know, there's still some believers. I know some in New York. Genuine believers saved and going to heaven, but they don't eat meat. Now, I can show you from the Bible why we should eat meat. Check it out in the Gospel of Mark. But let's read on. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. We are all one in Christ. And though we may not agree on certain things, not the basics, we're still brothers in Christ. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be held up. God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. We see that, don't we? Why the world is that way. When I was a youngster coming up in New York City, if you didn't finish your shopping by Saturday midnight, you had to wait till Monday morning. Sunday was the Lord's Day. And some called it the Lordly Day. No ball games on Sunday. No theaters open on Sunday. A little different now, isn't it? Things have changed. We read on. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he regardeth it not. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. None of us lives to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why do you judge a brother? Why do you set at naught thy brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's where it's going to be all straightened up. All these differences are where we don't see eye to eye. We will yet see eye to eye. The great judge will straighten us all up. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to the Lord. Oh, I like that so much. You know, this is a little aside, I'm waiting for a certain man to bow his knee before the Lord. Oh, he was a great man, great surgeon. I learned a lot from him, but he had no use for the Lord. And he would often tell me, we would discuss the scriptures, Garns, it's all chemistry. And when the chemistry is over, that's it. I'm waiting to see him bow to the Lord. I believe I'll derive a great satisfaction. See that man, as often as I talk to him, and as little as he thought of the Lord, he's going to bow. And all these other fellows around, I was listening to one last night, I forget his name. I've never heard one man explain things so wrong in all my life. He's going to bow too. Doesn't that make you feel good? All these fellows laughing at us, oh, you're a bunch of silly people, you believe the Bible. They're all going to bow. Let's read on. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And there's so many areas in which we differ. Even believers in the Lord. I know a believer, saved. Their way of thinking is a little different from ours. He bought a new car. That was all right. Now, a radio is standard equipment in a car. Am I right? Yeah. They said, if you don't take out the radio, we'll put you out of fellowship. What part of the Bible is that? What do you do with a brother like that? For people that think that there are brothers in the Lord. In New York City many years ago, a dear lady in fellowship, not in the assembly that I was in, she said, you know something? You all are saved, and you'll be in heaven, but we are going to be closer to the Lord than you. I don't blame you for laughing. I said, lady, what Bible do you read? The Darby version. Where do you find that in the Darby version? Yet she's a sister in the Lord. The Lord will straighten it out one day. And then there are other areas that I think of where believers don't agree. I was quite a young fellow, and there were certain people in the assembly who didn't believe that you should take out life insurance. Now, of course, life insurance is not life insurance, it's death insurance. It doesn't make you live. It's prepared for when you die. And I recall we had two persons in the assembly, nice people. They died, didn't believe in any savings for death, and the assembly had to bury them. I also remember that a brother in the meeting bought a house. Brother so-and-so bought a house, he's getting worldly. How do you manage with people like that? You are to provoke them to love, encourage them in the Lord. Now what I want to talk about is found in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And actually, the subject is how to speak to a brother when you don't agree with him. That's really what the subject is about. James chapter 3. The greatest treatise in all literature in this world on the human tongue. Nobody has ever written a greater treatise on the human tongue than in James chapter 3. And do you know there's some other great chapters in the Bible that are masterpieces of literature? And you take the book of Romans, and there isn't a more logical book written under the heavens than the book of Romans. Paul was a master logician. But let's read James chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You have to be careful when we go around teaching. In many things we all offend. If any man stumble not or makes not a mistaken word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. We've got to be careful of our speech, what we say, when we say, and how we say. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. Even so the tongue, oh, this is our subject, is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of itself. Every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by man. But the tongue can no man tame. And that's our subject. The human tongue as we seek to encourage our brothers. You know one thing that the politicians do? You ever hear the expression double talk, or talking with your tongue in cheek? Let's read Matthew chapter 5, 37. Matthew 5, verse 37. The Lord is speaking here. Yea, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Whatever is more than cometh of these is evil. If you're going to say yes. And if you're going to say no. But don't put your tongue on both sides of the cheek and say yes and no together. That's why I couldn't be a politician. I just can't. The thing either is yes or no. And that's what the Lord says. And that's the trouble with politics today. You have these fellows saying two things out of the same tongue. You have to be a real good double talker to be a politician. That's why we need to pray for them. That problem there in the Middle East, they need our prayers. You get that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I listen to the news every day. The authorities don't seem to agree on the same subject. They need our prayers. And I look forward to the day, maybe you don't, you're much younger, I look forward to the day when the Lord's going to take me to heaven. No more crying and no more tears, no more pain, no arthritis below. with the Lord forever. James chapter 5, verse 12. James 5 and 12. The human tongue in relationship to our provoking one another. You know, we tend to provoke and argue with the next person with harsh words to show that the harder you can talk, the more wrong he is. But that's what the Bible is telling us not to do, especially the Lord's people. But at the same time, we have to be careful whom we mingle and mix with. Because most of these church buildings are headed by men who do not believe God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, or the Word of God. We've got to be careful. James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by earth, neither by any oath, let your yea be nay and your nay be nay, lest you get into trouble. It's either yes or it's no, but it's not a combination of the two. Now, you know, we can hurt each other with our words. Let's look at a few scriptures. Psalm 52. Words can hurt. Words are like swords. Psalm 52 and verse 2. The tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Oh, what that... Now, I don't know if it has ever happened to you, but I tell you, I have been bruised by the tongue of believers. I'm not talking about those folks on the outside. It's painful. It hurts. We can hurt each other with our tongues. Chapter 55, please. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Watch these smooth talkers. These people that are trying to sell you something. I have never been so annoyed. I'm in the middle of something important. The phone rings and there's some man trying to sell me something. And I'm trying to tell him I don't want it and he keeps on talking. Then I have to be very impolite and just put the phone up. I see you, some of you are smiling. I guess you've had the same experience. Yes. 55, verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Oh, they can talk. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. We can injure people with our tongues. Chapter 57. Verse 4. My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be careful how we use our tongue. Chapter 59, verse 7. Behold, they belch out with their mouths. Swords are in their lips. For who say they go there? And this is the attitude of the ungodly today. They don't believe that God hears. In fact, they don't believe that God is. Well, I listened to a program yesterday. Maybe you did too. I forget the name of the one that conducted this program. But he was interviewing this other authority on mythology. And this man was pointing out that these myths show that we were all once one, and there is meaning to the myths. Well, I used to read myths when I was a boy. I'd read all the fairy tales in the library, so I turned to mythology. And I thought they were a lot of nonsense, too. And here's a man up in the world because he's an authority on mythology. I'm so glad I'm not an authority, but I have a knowledge of the book. Do you know where mythology came from? Look it up sometime. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Chapter 12, verse 8. There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is help. Oh, beloved, let's provoke one another to love. Let's encourage one another and exhort one another, but please, let us be careful about how we use our tongues and what we say to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's an interesting thing about words. A word is like a ball. From time to time you read of a pitcher who pitches the ball and hits the batter. Now sometimes he means to hit the batter and sometimes he doesn't. It all depends. But when that pitcher pitches a ball and he sees that it's going to hit the batter, don't you think he wishes he could pull it back? And when words go out of our mouths, we can't pull them back. Therefore, we have to be careful as we read in James, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to write. I'm reminded again of the same man that I mentioned to you, great surgeon. We were making rounds. And we came to a certain patient and said to me, "Garn, so, what do you say?" And like that, I answered. And as soon as I answered, I said, "No, that's wrong." He said, "Garns, that's a quickie. Quickies will get you in trouble. Be slow, quick to hear and slow to answer." But words can give health. Just as they can harm, they can help be healthy. Again, Proverbs. Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13. 34, 12 and 13. What man is there that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? I believe we would all like to live as long as possible and have a happy ending. The key to that? Next verse. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking God. You want to live long? Oh, they're putting out all kinds of remedies now and finding all sorts of things to help you to live a little longer. To keep the skin smooth, to take away the lines in your face. You want to live long? Be careful of your speech. This is Bible medication. Divine medication. And it works. Proverbs 12. Verse 18, the latter part of the verse, The tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. And oh, how nice it is to go to an older brother or sister for advice. I am not boasting, but my mother, the advice that she used to give to people, especially young women, they'd come to her and she'd give wholesome advice. Healthy advice. And let us do the same. Now Ephesians 4 and 25. Now you'll notice that as usual I'm turning to a lot of scriptures. I've told you before, I can't help it. I don't know any other way of teaching the Word of God. Ephesians 4 and 25. Oh, this verse used to bother me as a young man. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And I used to know, why would God tell Christians not to lie? Do you know why God tells Christians not to lie? Because they lie. That's exactly why he tells them don't lie. And a liar has to be very careful. Did you know that? A liar has to have a good memory. Because the next time he tells a lie, if he changes one word, he'll get himself in trouble. That's how the police catch many of their people. They ask them the same question over, and the man lies the first time, he tells the second story, lie the second time, and he alters it the third time. And by the time he's finished, the police know this man isn't telling the truth. We must tell the truth. Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 11. Genesis 12 and 11. It came to pass when he, Abraham, came near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a beautiful woman. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save you alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. It came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. The Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Pharaoh called Abraham and said, What is it that thou hast done unto me? Why did you not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, She is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her away.
That was a close call, wasn't it? And that's what happens when we tell lies. That's why the Word tells us, don't tell lies. But we read another one. You would think that his son had profited from his father's experience, wouldn't you? Chapter 26, verse 7. Genesis 26. And 26, starting at verse 6. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. The men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. It came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife. Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. How saidest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have lightly taken her, and thou wouldst have brought guiltiness upon all us.
We are to tell the truth. And there are other scriptures. Read with me again in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 36. I say unto you, every idle, careless, useless word that men shall speak, they shall give account of. Beloved, we have to be careful of our speech. We have to be careful of the words that we use. We are pilgrims and strangers, are we not? Now, what's the first way that you tell that a man is a foreigner when you see him? What's the first way that you tell he's a foreigner? His speech, that's right. And we are strangers, pilgrims, and foreigners, and they should be able to tell by our speech that we don't belong here. I had a brother in New York. Lovely brother. But he would always refer to the strangers among us. And I would object. We are the strangers. And they should be able to tell by our accent that we belong to heaven. We have to be careful of the words that come out of our mouth. And there are certain expressions called expletives. Be careful how you use them. In fact, don't use them. Do you ever say, oh my gosh? Look it up. Look up gosh. See what it means. We are not to take the Lord's name in vain. You get that in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. And it means we are not to take the Lord's name in any way that degrades him. If you call his name and it doesn't glorify him, then you're taking his name in vain. Gosh. Darn. Look that up when you go home. What does it mean? And these are all substitutes for God's name. Words we should never, never use. Psalm 52 and 4. Psalm 52:4. Thou lovest all devouring words, O deceitful tongue. Oh my. Did you know the tongue is deceitful? That's why you have to be careful when you go to purchase an automobile or a house or anything else. They'll deceive you. They'll tell you how good it is. And especially if you buy a second-hand car. My first car was a second-hand. And was I deceived? Yes, I was deceived. Thou deceitful tongue. A little poem. The boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill, declared the Greek. The tongue destroys a larger hoard than does the sword. Did you know that?
You can destroy. The tongue has destroyed. Literature has destroyed more people than the sword. They're fighting up there in the Middle East, up in Afghanistan. People are dying. It's very sad. But you know who destroys and what destroys more people? Books, literature, wrong speech, wrong literature. That's why we have in this country so many false religions. Where do you think they get them from? You read them in a book, and they follow. The Persian proverb says, "And a lengthy tongue means an early death." Does that make sense to you? You keep talking, talking, and talking. The tongue can speak a word whose speed, the speed is faster than a horse. Words. But in Psalm, or rather Proverbs 21, we read, who keeps his tongue keeps his soul. And as we seek to provoke one another, encourage one another, let's be careful how we use our tongues. Though your feet should slip, don't let your tongue slip. Who keeps his tongue keeps his soul. And with this I close. A needle, you know what a needle is, one of those straight things with a hole. Looked at a sieve, and you know what a sieve is, many holes. And the needle said to the sieve, I don't see how you manage to live with all those holes in your body. But the needle was very sharp. And the needle, no, rather the sieve said to the needle, I don't see how you can live with that big hole in your body. And the needle said, I don't see how you can live with so many holes in your body. Let's be careful how we criticize. Let's be careful of the use of our tongues. Let us use our tongues to provoke one another to good works and to honor the Lord. I'm finished. I promised that I would give back some of the time that I owed. I'm giving back a few minutes today. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we bow in thy presence, and again we want to thank thee for thy love and thy goodness to us. We thank thee for giving thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us. We thank thee for his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank thee for the shedding of his blood to cleanse us from sin. We thank thee for the opportunity granted us even this morning to remember him in the taking of the emblems. We thank thee, too, for the lesson that we've had from the Gospel of John. We thank thee for the words just spoken, that we might be careful how we use our tongues. May we use them to honor thee, to glorify thee. Bless each one here. Bless those that cannot be here by reason of circumstance, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.